This is the word of God found in Psalm 23. Reading the entire psalm, 6 verses. Psalm 23, verses 1 through 6. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I just want to concentrate on one expression from that psalm, which is familiar and beloved. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And then again, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. There's a lifetime of preaching in this psalm. I just want to think about that expression, that God leads us. He leads you, child of God. And I think I've mentioned this before, but let me mention it again because it's very much on my mind. Many times you'll hear brethren pray as they word our prayer for us, and they'll make the expression. In fact, I've heard it here in very beautiful prayers worded in union here, where a brother will pray, O Lord, lead, guide, and direct us. And when I first started considering that expression, I thought, well, is that three words for the same thing? Lead, guide, and direct. Is that redundant? Are we asking for the same thing again? And then as I thought about it, I reflected the wisdom in that. To lead someone means to go in front of them and they follow you. To guide someone, if you think of about a mountain guide or a trail guide or something, they walk beside you, knowing the way when you don't know the way. And then to direct someone means to tell them to go when you don't intend to go yourself. You're giving them directions, so you're directing them. So there's a different aspect of this in all three of those expressions, and we're asking God, as he knows is appropriate, to bless us that way, to lead. That is, go in front of us, we'll follow. To guide, that is, go with us as we go. And to direct us, that is, tell us where we need to go when he doesn't need or intend to go there. Let's look at the scripture, or some scriptures for that. Here's the two examples that we have right in this psalm of God's leadership. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In Isaiah 55, we read that he hath given him as a leader and a commander of the people. Let me read an example of God guiding us. Come with me to Psalm 48 and listen to this beautiful expression of God guiding us, being our guide. It says there in Psalm 48, let me start with verse 12, but what I'm after is verse 14. Psalm 48, verses 12, 13, and 14. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following. Now listen. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. So God guides us in that way. Now let's listen to him directing us. Let's go to a well-known proverb in chapter 43 of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So is it appropriate to pray, lead, guide, and direct us? Oh, yes. That's a good prayer. That's a scriptural prayer. God does lead us. He leads us beside the still waters. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Does he guide us? Yes. This God is our God. He will guide us even unto death. Does he direct us? If we trust him, lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So let's think about that. Let's think of the Lord Jesus Christ as our leader, as our guide, and as one who directs us. Let's think about that. Are there ways that the Lord Jesus Christ has gone in front of us to experience things ahead of us that we haven't experienced, but we will follow him, or we should follow him? Certainly. Think about this. Has he gone through physical death as well as a death that goes beyond that? Has he gone through death and burial and resurrection? And for that matter, ascension. Has he done that ahead of us? Yes, he has. He went to the cross and experienced not only a very deep death, a separation from God, as he was made to be sin for us, but then he laid down his life, experienced physical death, experienced the pain that preceded physical death. Ahead of us, you say, well, a lot of people have died before him. Yes, but he died in order to be buried and rise to die no more. Nobody had done that in human history. So he went before us. He died and he was buried. And then on the third day, showing God's approval of his sacrifice, he rose from the dead, stayed with his apostles for 40 days, and then ascended again. He led us in that. And for that reason, in the book of Hebrews, Jesus Christ is called our forerunner. He has been the forerunner who has entered into the veil before us. You know, when he laid down his life in physical death, the veil of the temple tore from the top to the bottom. But he entered into the holy place not made with hands, that is heaven itself, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So he entered into the real veil. Not only was the veil there in Jerusalem torn, showing a physical example of what was happening, but the greater picture was that veil of sin that separated God's children from God was ripped apart by our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ entered on into heaven in order to be the anchor of our hopes, to be our forerunner. God has given him as a leader and a commander for the people. Right now we're talking about leader. He's gone before us in that. And he's set the example in so many other ways that we are to follow and sometimes don't. As Brother Greg was just teaching us there, how he set the example of loving God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Set the example of giving. Didn't have a whole lot of money, but he gave gifts of healing, gifts of cleansing, gifts of peace, gifts of truth. He gave what he had, and he taught his apostles to do that. Remember when Peter and John were going to the temple, and the man that was born blind from birth, I mean, not blind, but was lame, and begging there at the temple, asked for an alms, and Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. And this man who was blind, who was lame and begging, rose up And when he found he could stand on his own and walk, he began to leap and shout and hold John and Peter for the joy of that. Jesus Christ is our leader in that. Think of the example he set after his mother found him at 12 years old, teaching and asking questions of the doctors and elders, and she made kind of a mistaken statement there. Shows you that she was a sinner in need of a Savior herself. She said, "Son, why hast thou dealt so with us? Thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." Well, Jesus Christ's father knew right where he was. He hadn't sought him sorrowing. But Mary and Joseph sure had. And he said, "How was it that you sought me? Wist you not that I must be about my father's business?" So it says there that he went back with them to Nazareth, and he was subject unto them. And he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with man and with God. The Lord Jesus Christ, who was perfect, never committed a sin by action, word, or deed, was still obedient to his parents. He was subject unto them. Now, if they told him to do something sinful, I'm confident he didn't do it. But whatever they told him, even though maybe it wasn't the best way to do things, he was subject unto them. He made himself subject to their authority, just as he willingly was subject to the Heavenly Father. So he is our leader. He goes ahead of us in places that we haven't been, and sets the example for us and blazes the trail, goes on ahead that way as a leader. We just experienced D-Day on Thursday. It's been 81 years since that event. And back then, many of the people that were paratroopers being dropped behind the enemy lines into France and Belgium and that area, they were jumping into an area that was heavily occupied by Nazi troops. And a lot of them were jumping into a dangerous area where they could be shot and dead before they ever hit the ground. But the ranking paratrooper, the one who was in charge of the group jumping out of the airplane, the tradition back then is the one who was in command, the leader, he would go first to the door of the airplane and say, "Follow me." And he would go out first. The rest of his charge would go out after him. That was a leader. Somebody, not just bossing others around, somebody going before them and setting the example. That's a leader. The Lord Jesus Christ is also our guide. Remember when he told the disciples to go forth into all nations? He had, while he was walking the earth himself, commanded them to go not into the way of the Gentiles or into Samaria, but go ye rather unto the lost house, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But after he died and rose again, he commanded them to spread out. And he said, "Go ye therefore into all nations, teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to obey whatsoever things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." He was a guide. He was sending them forth into all these different nations, but he was not sending them alone. He told them he was going to go with them in spirit. His body was ascending back to his heaven, but back to his Father. But in spirit, he was with them, and sometimes even made appearances, as he appeared to the Apostle Paul when he was in jail and things. He was with them. And I want you to know this too, that especially when you're trusting God and trying to obey him, the Lord Jesus Christ is with his children. He's with you, child of God. He's not only your leader setting the example, he's your guide. He's walking along beside you. And here's the thing. You will encounter experiences where even though he's walking with you, he knows the right way and where to go, and you don't. How valuable that is. Think about a trail guide, not a trail blazer, a trail guide, or a mountain guide. And you're walking up this mountain path, climbing, you've never been there, and you're about to turn on one direction. He says, no, we want to go that way. Well, that looks longer. It is a little bit longer, but the elevations are such, and it doesn't have as many falling rocks. This will give us a safer path, better views, take us a little longer. It's a better way to go. And he knows those things, and you don't. So many people now, so many of us, I include myself, we want the shortcut to happiness. Lord, make me happy and make me there right now. Lord, make me successful and get me there right now. Lord, give me someone to love and give them to me right now. That happens. And many times the Lord is saying, wait a minute, you need to do this. You yourself need to learn some things about not only how to love, but how to be loved before that person comes along. Trust me. Learn. Do things the way that the Holy Spirit has set down in Scripture. It may take longer. Maybe some lonely paths, but in the end, you'll be safer, richer, happier, more joyful, stronger, more content. He's your guide. This God is our God. He will be our guide even unto death. You know what we need to do? Listen to the guide. Go with the guide. He's our guide even unto death. You know, sometimes I get the impression that that maybe not all that afraid of death, but afraid of dying. You know, there's many times, because I've experienced being close to many people that have died, and some of them are quite hard. Some of them are quick, and I don't know what pain they experience, but some of them are not. Sometimes it takes quite a long time, quite a process. And so I don't know how my own will be, but here's the thing. If this God is our God and he will be our guide even unto death, whether it's quick and easy or slow and more difficult, then if he's guiding me even unto death, then I don't need to not only not fear death, I don't even need to fear dying. Remember the song we sing. I don't know what tomorrow will bring, you know. I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who provides for me. And then it says that I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. And that's the important thing. If this God's our God and he's our guide even unto death, you don't know what it's going to be like. You don't know what tomorrow's going to be like, but you know who's in control of tomorrow. And the Scripture tells you, and from time to time, in the preaching of the gospel or reading of the word or the fellowship of the saints, you get that reassurance as, yes, unworthy though I am, he does love me. He loves me with an everlasting love. He loves me with a sacrificial love. He loves me with a victorious love. And because he loves me, he holds tomorrow and he holds my hand and is going to be all right. He's our guide. Now, he's also our director. He leads and he guides and he directs. What's the difference? Lead, he goes on in front, we follow. Guide, he goes along beside us, giving us information as a partner, as one who acts as a friend. He's the friend of sinners. Direct. He tells us to do some things that he has no intention of doing himself because it's not necessary. Let me give you the prime example. And that is, he commands us to repent. Repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Does he direct us? Oh yeah, we just read the proverb, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Direct doesn't mean like lead, where he goes ahead and we follow. Doesn't even mean like guide, where he walks beside us. Direct means he's back there saying, all right, you're up ahead. You need to go over to the right, not to the left. Watch out for the pit when you first get that way. You know, it looks like a little hill there to climb. It's not bad. Go that way. And there are some things that he commands us to do that he has no need or intention of doing. And that is, and that's the prime example, we need, as a lifelong practice, to confess our sins and repent from them. He doesn't need to do that. Why? Because he's sinless. He's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He never committed a sin, never spoke a sin, never thought a sin. But he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. So he understands us. He has the experience, the human experience. He went through poverty. He went through rejection. He went through grief. He saw his friend die. He was afflicted in all manners of afflictions that we are. So he understands the whole experience, but he does not need to repent from sins, whereas I do. I very much need to do that. There's sometimes I'm not thinking, or else I'm thinking the wrong way, and I do something, all of a sudden I realize, oh, God's not pleased with that. That was petty. That was mean. That was unrighteous anger. That was pride, you know? And when I catch myself on that, then the enemy lots of times is right there saying, yes, it sure was. That's the end of your service to God. You hypocrite. You false professor. You, who do you think you are? And you know what? He's a liar and the father of it, because God teaches this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, brothers and sisters, don't be insincere about that. If I have just cussed somebody out, and then I think, okay, I've sinned. I confess that to the Lord. Please forgive me and all of that. And then I come right back and say, now I'm going to cuss them out again because I know I can confess that. That's, you're not being sincere. You're not confessing that. You're playing a word game at that point. Confession of a sin means you recognize that I have done wrong. I'm wrong. God's right. This is terrible. This is separating us. This is the kind of thing my Lord died for. This is the thing that when I confess it to God, sincerely means I'm going to do my level best to never do it again. Be sincere about your confession. But I tell you, if you're like me, your lifetime consists of a whole bunch of these private confessions between you and God. Father, that was prideful. That was sheer vanity and pride. Please forgive me. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. In the name of my Savior, Jesus Christ. And then, along with that prayer, there's the unspoken promise is, I'm going to try to do better to humble myself. I'm not going to go around all mealy-mouthed trying to convince other people that I'm humble. But Lord, just between you and me, I'm going to try to be more humble. I'm going to try to realize that I am weak. You are strong. I need to be obedient because you are right and you're always right. And whenever I disagree with you, you are always right and I'm always wrong. Dear Father, help me to humble myself. Because you've given a wonderful promise there too. That if we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, he shall lift us up. He's given us that promise Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he shall exalt you in due time. The Lord leads, guides, and directs us. Is that a good prayer? It's a great prayer. It's a great prayer. It's a scriptural prayer. Think about the blessing, the implication, and the lesson of that prayer. He goes on ahead of us as an example. We follow him. Isn't it great to think we follow him right on into the resurrection and glory? Not by our own strength, but as we live, it's his grace and his strength that brings us there. But while we wait for that glorious time, he's telling us the way to go, and he's walking beside us. And he holds tomorrow, he holds today, he holds our hand. That's our Savior and our friend, our leader, our commander, our guide and director, the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you. Let's try to pray. Our Heavenly Father, dear God, thank you for leading us and guiding us and direct us. And dear God, would you continue to do that? Forgive us our sins. Help us to worship you in spirit and truth. Help us to love you with all our heart, mind, and soul and strength. Help us to love our neighbors as ourselves. Dear God, we thank you for giving us food, clothing, shelter. Thank you most of all for our Savior, the promise of life everlasting in your presence. You are our anchor, Lord, our hope that enters into the veil. And we pray, dear Father, that we'll hold fast to that anchor and that our hope will grow brighter as days grow longer, as we approach near to the time, Lord, when we lay down this body of this life and come home to you in spirit. We hope that as we draw near to that time, that we will show ever brighter, Lord, your goodness, your mercy, that follow us all the days of our life, and that we thank you for the promise that we'll dwell in your house forever. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.